We're having a moment over StreamYard.
That show, a trip.
That art. The Ratatouille on the fork in the shape of a rat. I can't. I cannot.
It is one of the best cast recordings I've heard ever.
I've spent so much time of this year thinking about Summer Not a Summer Musical.
Could there be any other performance of the year?
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Off to Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we have finally, emphasis on the word finally, reached the end of 2020. So it's time for our year in review. This year in review is very different than last year's year in review.
Last year's was filled with so much hope. I know we both went back and listened to it recently. And it made me a little sad to think of everything we were so excited to do this year that obviously did not get to happen.
Yeah. And I think, as you said, like, we were so excited to see so much theater this year. There were so many great shows that were lined up for not only Toronto, but we had another trip planned to New York that we were so excited to see all of that new theater. And we haven't been in the theaters since March.
Since March 11th, seeing Summer, a Donna Summer musical.
Iconic, though. Like, what a way to go out. But it's crazy because I, for the last couple of years, have been doing that, like, playbill collage of how many shows I've seen. This year is a whopping 4. Congrats to me.
And you saw 6 things, Tara.
I think it was 4.
I saw 4 things.
Oh, you're right. I saw six. It was a whopping 6 things, which, great. Last year, I think I saw over 35. So it's sad, but I mean, there are some things that we did really enjoy about this year, so we thought that we should go through and do our top moments, different moments from this year, very similar to last year's episode. So with that being said, let's kick it off with our favorite cast recording. If you have been listening to us this year specifically, because of how things have been in the theater world, we have kind of turned to cast recordings and been on, my favorite word, a journey, so to speak, of different cast recordings and things that we're interested in. And like, we've shared it with each other. We've shared it with different guests that have come on our podcast. And we thought we should rank our 3 favorites of the year. So to preface, this is not, I mean, it could be, but it's not 2020 cast recordings because there were very few that came out this year. This is just what has got us through this year.
My criteria were 3 cast recordings that I discovered this year and loved. That was kind of my criteria.
Okay. I didn't do like discover. 2 of them are discoveries, but 1 of them has been like a pretty constant this year. So what is your 3rd spot for your favorite cast recording?
My 3rd favorite cast recording that was new to me in 2020 was the Octet cast recording. I loved it. I don't understand it. I don't know if I get it. I'm not smart enough to get it. I don't know. But I love the way that they use their voices in it. And I just loved it. It was so interesting to me. Their voices are great. It's just a fun, interesting, weird one to listen to, especially because it's all about technology and we're spending so much time on technology this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved it.
That's a great one. That's such an interesting show. And when the cast recording came out, I feel like we talked about this in spring or summer.
Yeah.
That like I had listened to a couple songs, but then got off of it because I couldn't get into it. And it's one of those ones that you kind of need to stop everything you're doing and focus on what's happening.
Yes. Yes. I think I sat outside in the summer just on my computer and just listened to it straight through.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I love this. Picking out favorite moments, favorite songs.
So my 3, which I feel like is on your list, probably, I was going to say in your 1 or 2, but obviously it would be in your 1 or 2 because it's a 3. But A Strange Loop. This
wow.
cast
it's
recording.
Here, but yes.
This cast recording is one that we've talked about on a few episodes now. It's so good. There are so many amazing songs on this cast recording, and this show obviously won the Pulitzer Prize this year, and Michael R. Jackson is a genius, and I just want to see this show whenever we can see this show.
I know. I cannot wait. Well, I'll talk about A Strange Loop when I get there.
All right, so you're 2.
My 2 is the Sing Street cast recording, a show that never made it to Broadway, might still, but I loved that movie, and I loved the way it captures the 80s, and honestly, I feel like I can put it on at a party and it not my friends not be like, oh, turn off that musical, you know? It's just like a fun music. I love Up. I put Up on in my headphones and I just dance around my bedroom. It just like makes me happy. It's a great cast recording. It's such a beautiful feeling going up. She lights me up. She breaks me up.
So Sing Street was in my honorable mentions for this year. It's also one of the only 2020 cast recordings that came out, which is pretty exciting. And like you said, we don't know if it's going to open on Broadway, but like at least this exists and it's out there so that people can listen to it. This was kind of like the cast recording of the summer for me. I would sit outside and listen to it. I've played it many times in the car. And similar to you with that, you feel like you could play this anywhere. Like I have been in the car with my parents a couple times and my mom's like, what is this? Like, this is really good. And not that she doesn't enjoy listening to musicals too, but it's the way that it is recorded and the production on it is very 80s, as you said, and just really good. Also, the talent on that cast recording is amazing.
Yes, I love it.
My number two is a cast recording that I have not stopped listening to since we saw this show in December of 2019, and that's the Jagged Little Pill cast recording. It was my number one listened to album on the Apple Music Wrapped. I don't think it's actually called Wrapped, that's Spotify's thing, but I'm just going to call it Apple Music Wrapped. You messaged me the other day saying, you know what album still slaps? Jagged Little Pill. This cast recording, I've said it on so many episodes. I will continue to say it. It is one of the best cast recordings I've heard ever. The production on it.
The production value, yeah.
The production value was so good. The like reorchestrations of these iconic Alanis songs. Like Tom Kitt, you are a genius. And again, speaking on talent, like the talent on this cast recording is unmatched, unheard of. And we were saying the other day, like there is not a bad song on this cast recording. It's so good. And I also think in the same breath of what you were saying with Sing Street, like because it's Alanis songs, we could play this anywhere and people would be like, oh, that's really good. It's just a different take to an Alanis song. I love this cast recording. I honestly feel like being removed from seeing it, it makes me like love this musical more and more, even though I still have problems with it. Like I love it more and more every time I listen to it. Yes. So this album got us through, I feel like, the end of 2019. And it was something that we were both bringing into 2020. And it has stayed for me all the way until basically 2021, I guess.
Yeah, I really do think.
I was doing some Christmas baking the other day and just listening to this kind of intense Alanis cast recording of like the juxtaposition here. But it was really, it's just motivating. It's great.
Yeah.
So obviously my number one is A Strange Loop. It is just that good. It is that girl. Like it did that. I want to talk about Larry Owen's vocal performance and his acting performance on it because I just, the idea of the loop, that it's kind of a version of Michael R. Jackson and then Larry Owens and then all these other characters in the show being different like loops and versions of Usher. And I just think he is at the center of the story and he carries it so well. The song that I always go back to and listen to so much is Periodically, which is the phone call from his mother for his birthday and just the internal struggle between wanting to make his parents proud, but also, you know, his parents like not understanding or like being against who he is as a person.
Yeah.
And I think it's written so well. And then Larry Owens just nails every second of it.
And I love him. So despite all my pain and my strife, I'll just keep on praying your reprobate lifestyle isn't real.
and I love it. And then that finale. I just, like, when I finish the cast recording, I just want to, like, jump on my bed and be like, oh, yes.
And, like, replay it. Let's start again.
It's so good. I love it. Yeah, it's really, really well produced, and I can't wait to eventually get to see it in person.
Yeah, I totally agree. My number one should come as no surprise to you. It is a cast recording that I discovered this year, and I'm so happy that I did. It is the 2018 version of Songs for a New World. And oh, you're suddenly a stranger in some completely different land. And you thought you knew, but you didn't have a clue that the surface sometimes cracks to reveal the tracks. I love this cast recording so much. If you want to hear my full thoughts on it, listen to our Jason Robert Brown episode. But this was a cast recording, or this was a show that I had heard songs here and there, but hadn't ever listened to the full thing all the way through. And I hate that it's taken me this long to listen to it all the way through, because it's some of the best, like, written musical theater songs out there. I truly believe that. And again, the talent, Mikhail Kilgore, Shoshana Bean, Colin Donnell, Soli Pfeiffer, like, everybody is so good on that cast recording. And I know that I have talked about it so much in the last, like, specifically 6 months, but it is that cast recording for me this year. And I'm so happy that I found it, and now that it will continue on, and I'll listen to it probably forever. So I love it.
It's a great classic, like a modern classic of Songs for a New World. I don't know. There were also other cast recordings that weren't new to me this year, but just I went through phases of.
I feel like we have the same one for an honorable mention.
My honorable mention is Alice by Heart.
Alice by Heart.
I had that moment. But other ones that I just knew already, like, obviously, you know, I appeared on the original cast of Patrick Flynn, so, like, I had a Next to Normal moment this year. I had an American Idiot moment this year for a while. Had a Hamilton moment. But over the summer was my Wild Party moment with, like, Andrew Lippa's Wild Party. It just, I don't know, it's such a fun party musical. And I'm like, that's the energy we want to bring into 2021. You know, that's the the excitement, the party mood. And it's just such a fun cast recording.
Yeah, so Sing Street was on my honorable mention list. But I, like you, Alice by Heart was a cast recording that I had listened to for the first time last year. But there was a good chunk of this year that it was all I was listening to. And, like, shout out to Colton Ryan for being that person this year, too, because he popped up in so many of our episodes. I watched him on Little Voice this year. He is in the new Dear Evan Hansen movie that's coming out whenever it's coming out. So, like, good on you, Colton. You've had a great year.
He did that.
So obviously this year has pivoted to a lot of virtual and filmed theater. So we are ranking some of our favorites. I mean, I can just say right now, we are both going to have the same number one, but we will talk about it when we get there. So let's start with your third favorite moment in virtual/film theater this year.
My third favorite moment was something we had seen in person, and then we got to see filmed this year. I'm talking about Ghost Quartet, my number three. We talked about how we saw it last year, and the moment of Hero, of that duet between the two girls, and the cast recording of Ghost Quartet, which is the New York production, does not have that version of it. So we were just, it lived in our minds only in our memory. And then getting to see it taped, preserved this year was, like, a highlight. And I think the production value of that was really great. I loved the way they filmed that. I love that they reunited that cast that we got to see last year and kind of restaged it, maybe more concert style. I just thought it was really, really fun. I subjected my parents to it. And again, it's a bit of a confusing one, so I don't know if it quite, like, hit. But I loved getting to, like, relive that experience from last year.
Yeah, Ghost Quartet is on my honorable mention list. I loved it last year, loved it this year. It is confusing. You said that you finally understood it this year. I still am a bit confused on some
things. Now. I forgot now, but
I totally agree with you. The production value on that production was so great. I loved the way they filmed it, almost like in the round, if that makes sense, even though that wasn't really anything. Yes, it was concert style, but there's a moment where Rose Red and Pearl White
are in a subway station and they talk about this photograph that's taken. And I remember so vividly when we saw it in person, the like flash of the camera light, and they recreated that moment in such a powerful way. But I totally agree. Like, we've been waiting a year to hear Hero sung like that again, and it didn't disappoint. Let's just say that. So if anybody got the chance to watch that Crow's Theater Ghost Quartet, I hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did.
And Ghost Quartet did a fun thing, or Eclipse Theater did a fun thing, where you could buy tickets to see the show and then also get a meal delivered from a local restaurant. I partnered with them, and like, we didn't get the meal, but that's such a great way to support two local businesses who are obviously struggling during the pandemic, and create a night out of it, create an experience out of it. And I love that idea.
There was also one of the nights you could participate in a question and answer with Dave Malloy. So there was just, they were doing a lot of cool things, and I hope that that stuff continues in the new year, because it's just a fun way to like get the community together.
And even when it finished,
we went back.
We watched it again. We were just like buffering through to our favorite parts.
We watched Hero many times back.
So many times. We had it for 6 hours, and I'm like, I'm going to use all six of these hours.
Exactly. My number three is a Netflix filmed theater, and that is The Boys in the Band. I never saw the play on Broadway, but it featured the exact same cast in this Netflix movie, directed by Ryan Murphy. It was so well done. I loved every second of it, but it was one of those things that, because it was so well done in movie format, I wondered how it would play on stage, and I feel like it would be that much better and that much more amazing. And also to sit in the audience with such incredible star power and just like feel what that would feel like, I was really missing that. But the performances were incredible. Rami De Jesus is the star of that movie. He is so good.
He's always a star. He's a star in everything he does.
It gave me like a weird sense of hope to see these theater actors reprise their roles in this Netflix movie. Like, that's what I wanted The Prom to be, which is sort of what we said on our last episode, because it's like they lived this for X number of months on Broadway, and now they got the chance to put this in movie form, and it lives on forever. And the performances are so strong, so great. I highly recommend if you haven't seen it. So I loved it.
My number two is something I kind of got to see before, but it was released properly for the first time this year, and that is the Smash filmed concert. That
wow.
It was just, we went on a Smash journey this year. I really feel
that. Yeah, we did.
Remember when we watched both seasons of Smash? This was early pandemic. We watched both seasons of Smash
in like 4 weeks.
Yes, and then we recapped it on two episodes way back in April. Go back and listen to them. They're kind of insane. But then getting to watch them kind of stage Bombshell that they did a few years ago, one night only concert, and finally getting to watch it on the TV with a reunion attached to it was so, so, so much fun. It gave us hope. I don't know. It gave me hope for a Bombshell musical, which it turns out we're maybe not going to quite get that.
That series of events that happened that night when like the concert aired, and then I can't remember who tweeted it, but they were like, there's news coming tomorrow. And we're like, oh my God, it's happening. It's actually happening.
Bombshell's happening. It wasn't Bombshell. So yeah, they're doing a Smash musical, like a musicalization, which Smash was, but a stage musicalization of
the show.
Putting together of the musical Bombshell. And I'm like, interesting. That's not quite what we asked for, but I will take it. I will see it. But yeah, I just loved watching it.
Do you remember when we were like, is this going to be like an HBO Max? Are we getting a season three? Like, this is what we really thought was going to happen, because I can't
Well, Josh Safran was working with HBO Max, right? But I don't know if he has a good relationship with the Smash team, the rest of the Smash team. So I don't know.
Yeah. But yes, I agree. That was fun. We were on FaceTime with Shara, and just like, again, not all watching at the exact same time, because what is starting a stream at the same time in 2020?
It's hard. But, it's hard. You know, and then I was watching with my parents, so I was like trying to like entertain them. Do you know who that is? Do you know who that man is?
Yeah. But I feel like our favorite numbers from the first time we had like watched bits and pieces of that concert stuck out the second time. So it was really fun.
Getting to see the staged choreography, getting to see Wesley Taylor in his cabaret haircut.
Yeah.
Getting to see Christian Borle the day after he won a Tony Award. What a time capsule.
My number two is, this year the Canadian Music Theatre Project went digital, and I loved the third, I think it was the third musical showcase called Living the Dream, which was music and lyrics by Annika and Barbara Johnson. We had Britta on our podcast, but they're a multi-talented family, and directed by Mitchell Cushman, who we've seen a couple of his productions now. And this was a musical that is about sort of like The Bachelor, but over Zoom. And there's one guy and he picks these women over Zoom and they like musicalize the entire thing. And then there's also a group of people that are watching The Bachelor, in quotes, and it sort of ends off because it was only like a very condensed version of this musical, that one of the characters goes into the storyline and becomes a contestant as well. It was so fun. The music is amazing. I wish that it was still online so that I could play a clip for you, but...
another one that we watched it and then we're like, it's going to expire soon. We have to watch it as many times as we can. Something that like refrains in my mind is, are you looking for love or do you want to die alone?
Are you looking for love?
Do you want? Yeah, it was amazing. I loved that one so much too. That's maybe my number four spot is Living the Dream from the CMTP.
The best thing about that was because it was created for a Zoom format, it really worked. Mm. It was awesome.
I agree. The way theater is adapted for this format, and that is a prime example of it. That's a way that it works, and it's not just we're reading this play or we're doing this musical over Zoom and just ignore the Zoom boxes. It's like, no, this is the format that it's created for.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see its future evolution and what they do with it.
Oh, yeah. And the best part of it was that we didn't even see the person that was playing The Bachelor until, like, the very, very end.
I was like, are we going to meet Jordan? Are we going to meet Jordan?
And also, again, which was something that we said last year with the Sheridan students, the talent that we could see over Zoom gave me hope.
Yeah, it was so, so, so much fun. I loved it. I loved it.
So speaking of a show that worked so well in a digital format, would you like to tell everybody our number one?
Our number one, we've talked about this so many times over the past, or since we saw it, maybe I think it was May, but Significant Other. Why did they have to do us like that?
Honestly, I think it's the best thing I've seen this year.
I'm crying thinking of it. It's just... I really think part of it is, you know, the age of the characters and, like, the age we are at right now. Like, it hits the emotions that that are, like, close to the surface for us.
Yeah, yeah.
At this time. But the way, like, I felt like we were in a theater watching them. The emotions were so real and so raw. Mm-hmm. And watching them just, like, live in these characters and have these emotions was fantastic. I don't even know. I we didn't get to see it on stage, but I wonder if it would even be better this way.
A huge shout out to Broadway Best Shows because they put on this production. Unfortunately, as we said in our virtual theater episode, this was a one night only affair, and I'm so happy that we both saw it. We didn't even plan on it. I had sent you a photo. I'm lying in bed and I sent you a picture of my TV being like, guess what I'm watching? You were like, oh my God, me too. Like, that's something that we were like, oh, we'll put it on if we feel like watching it. And I just think about, like, what if we didn't put it on? My year would be different.
No. It gave me hope in that moment. And then I was in the living room with my parents and they were watching TV and I'm just watching on my computer and I am full on sobbing. My parents were like, what is wrong with you? What is happening? I'm just like, just ignore me.
Everything about that production was perfect. It honestly was so perfect. And I know that they're like, that's a lot to do with that cast. And I'm not going to say anything right now because I feel like we're going to talk about them in performances.
We'll discuss.
But wow, what a highlight this year. If I could tell you to go back in time and watch anything, it would be Significant Other.
You want to see like a regional production of it. I feel like it's very doable to do a regional production of it when theaters open again. Maybe that'll be our mission.
Do you have any honorable mentions for this?
Many. Again, I subjected my parents to falsettos the night that it was available on Broadway HD for free for everyone. The sing-along.
Yeah, me too.
We did not sing along. But I love falsettos. We've saw it in theaters. We've seen it on stage. And watching it again, I just think that's a fantastic show. Talking about some, like, miscast that we got to watch virtually this year. So much fun. The Rosie O'Donnell Show, way early pandemic. Just getting to see everyone there, you know, at this kind of virtual benefit concert like so much fun. And then stuff on Great Performances, PBS Great Performances. The other night I texted you, I'm like, I'm watching The King and I on Great Performances. And you're like, why? And I'm like, I don't know, but I was.
I mean, speaking of Great Performances, on my honorable mention list, She Loves Me. I watched it for the first time this year. I loved it, like loved it so much. And that's one that I was like, when you text me saying you're watching The King and I at literally 1:30 in the morning, I was like, She Loves Me, like, why aren't you watching She Loves Me?
I haven't recorded too. I just haven't watched it yet. You know, they're right there. She Loves Me will be a soon watch, I think. I also have American Utopia still recorded to watch.
Yeah.
Like, we were very blessed this year on what we got. So that's,
yeah, it's true. And on the same track of that, something else I watched this year was What the Constitution Means to Me on Amazon Prime, which was amazing. The way that it's filmed is perfect. And I feel like the way that that show is staged is such an easy stage to film adaptation, which they didn't even adapt because they literally just filmed the entire performance.
We're so lucky to have that. You know what I mean? We're so lucky to have that.
And such like amazing quality. Like that's the best part of it. And it's just quite literally the show taken and put on a streaming service, and it's awesome. And I think it's such an amazing way for, which I kind of talked about in our prom episode, to open the doors of theater to many people and see if you're interested. And there are now like enough titles on different streaming services to experience theater and experience it in a different way. And I don't know that we would have got that in a different year. So thanks, Amazon, Netflix, HBO. We appreciate it. PBS has always been
doing the work for years. They've been giving it to us for years.
Yes, it's
very
true.
We appreciate PBS. Even yesterday, I think it'll be gone by the time this episode comes out, but Kinky Boots just popped up on my YouTube, the full production, as a benefit, and I watched half of it.
I do want to mention also, I think the YouTube channel is The Show Must Go On. They were putting all of the Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals on. So Joseph, Phantom. I watched Love Never Dies for the first time, finally. It was as crazy as expected.
That's what Kinky Boots is on, and that's what I was watching this weekend.
And just always has always been there. Broadway HD is such a great resource for all of these shows. There's been more titles added this year. So if you do want to check out actual filmed productions, go check out Broadway HD. So yeah, I mean, like, that being said, there was a lot of virtual theater this year that we really did enjoy.
Okay, let's talk about our best performance of the year. Mine, I have three that I picked. Some are from virtual theater, and one is from in person.
Me too. You know?
Remember we saw some things in person at the beginning of the year? Who even remembers?
I know.
But I want to start with my honorable mention.
Okay.
Because I really feel like we need to start
Like we have the same one.
My honorable mention is Eric Bergen doing IT support for the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Eric Bergen was also on my... I have two honorable mentions. Eric Bergen obviously was one of them. Let's give a moment to Eric Bergen.
Judith Light, I'm going to call you, okay? I'm going to call you. Okay?
I just remember this was so early in the pandemic,
like
because
March.
March. And then he had also worked on a couple of the other Broadway.com streamed performances that they were doing. And I think we were watching the Rosie show, and Eric Bergen popped up and was like, who knew, first of all, that he did this?
Is this Madam Secretary's own Eric Bergen?
Yeah. And then I went onto his Twitter and saw that he was like simultaneously tweeting the technical difficulties at the same time. I'm like, literally, Eric Bergen saved 2020.
He is the IT support of 2020. And anytime something was going bad, remember the Sondheim special where it wasn't starting properly and Raul Esparza couldn't get
it?
And it's like, where's Eric Bergen?
No,
we need him.
Totally. He is, honestly, he should have been number one on our list.
You're right.
I do have another honorable mention, but I'm going to wait and
save
it until after the list because it's pretty funny. Okay, your number three.
Okay, my number three, I want to talk about Hayley Gillis while very pregnant doing Ghost Quartet.
She's my number two. I agree.
Number two. Like, I was like, she's very pregnant right now. And I actually think she's had her baby now. So congratulations to her. It's a good time to have a baby, I think.
I would just like to point out that she is the only person. Yes, I'm aware that we've only had this podcast for 2 years, but she has made it on a best performance list twice.
Wow, because for Ghost Quartet last year.
For the same show.
For the same performance. Oh my goodness. We should be ranking these year to year. You know, we should like put them next to each other.
But not only Ghost Quartet, I mean, we got to talk about that Kelly v. Kelly music video that dropped.
Yes.
Because Eugenia at the Tango Club was it.
Just who you wanna be, don't fight the feeling.
That was the, honestly, one of the best songs to come out of 2020, and I love, and will play for you the clip of us freaking out with Britta, who wrote that song, and when she told us that that was only a taste, we lost our minds. So please enjoy this clip.
But fun fact, that song in the promo video isn't actually for her character. In the show, she doesn't sing it. Nope.
Or in shock.
Wow.
And it was actually the first song for the show that I wrote out at CMTP, and it's for a different character. Yeah.
Wow. We're still in shock that she doesn't even sing that in the show. Like, what are we gonna do? Oh my goodness.
I know. To hear a different voice on that song, it's gonna be like a whole brand new song for us, which is very exciting. Haley's voice, I'll never be over it.
No, I am so excited to get to see her in more things. I just loved her performance in that and getting to see it again. And I was like, it's just as good. It is that good.
Yeah.
Pumped.
Crazy. My number three is an in-person performance that we saw. And that is Tess Banger and Sunday in the Park with George.
My number two is Tess Banger and Sunday in the Park with George. Thought you would go George, but we both went Dot. Sunday in the Park with George is a show that I knew about. I knew the music, but I had never seen it before. And so I didn't quite... I think until you see something in person, you can't quite get the tone of the show.
Yeah.
And so seeing it and seeing her and seeing how Dot is kind of exasperated over George, but like loves him, but is also, you know, can't tolerate. I think she just brought like the life and heart to that show.
Yeah.
And it is like really tough shoes to follow. Everyone knows Bernadette's performance in Sunday in the Park with George. And just seeing her, like, have that light at the center of it, fantastic. And then in Act Two, when she's kind of playing multiple people and flipping between roles, she's just stunning. She was stunning.
Yeah, it was so interesting because the space that we saw it in was super intimate, and it was also done in the round, kind of. And she commanded that audience. Like, she was the person I watched the entire time. From just her facial expressions to her body movements, and obviously she has a beautiful, beautiful voice, but wow, like, I would love to see her in something else. This was the first show I have seen her in, and yeah, I'd really love to see her in do something else. So
that was another show where we got to see the students of Sheridan that we'd seen last October in their CMTP, so getting to hear from them again and just seeing their talent again, just I loved it.
Do we have the same number one? We might.
We do. I think we do.
Okay.
Are we talking about Mr. Gideon Glick in Significant Other?
We are.
Of course we are.
Like, could there be any other performance of the year?
No, he was iconic. The moment that really got me is like him and Lindsay Mendez are having this argument before she gets married about, and he asks her, you know, why am I not a bridesmaid, basically. And I was just like devastated for him. And that is the moment like I think about a lot.
Yeah. I mean, there's also that iconic scene of the monologue, and that is something that it worked so well in a virtual setting. It was amazing.
There's like no distractions. There's nothing else to watch. It's just like straight to camera, straight to you.
Yeah. And that character is so interesting because he is going through like almost an existential crisis the entire show. And then it like hits different points. We love Gideon Glick and have loved him for a very long time. And I've never had the chance to see him in anything. And to see him in this, and let's use the term of like, this was the role that he was born to play, let's be honest.
It really like suits him so well. I think he was really involved in the development of it, and then did it off Broadway, and then did it on Broadway, and then did this. And so he's really lived with that character for a long time.
Also, the most iconic scene when she plays their song at the wedding.
Yes. Oh, when it's just like the way at the beginning, it's so smart how they make fun of these people in love. And then at the end where she like understands, like not understands the song, but she understands like how it is to be in love. And so the song has a new meaning to her, but he is still like stuck on the old meaning because he's not in love. Or anyway, that's how I read it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just like the reinterpretation, or how like different things mean different things to you when you are at a different place in your life. I don't know. I just loved that scripting choice.
Yeah, and we had said in our virtual theater episode that to get to see the show in any sort of capacity on stage, the soundtrack of that show is amazing.
So much fun. So much fun.
I hope you dance. We love it. I have another honorable mention that I think you would also agree with, and this person could also take the top spot. It's obviously Cameron Dallas in the Mean Girls bootleg.
Oh, God. It is, though. That performance has brought me so much joy. It's not even funny. I have watched so many Mean Girls bootleg clips with Cameron Dallas in them. I don't understand why.
It is.
It's comedy.
It's comedy. It really is comedy. And I don't know if we even said this on our episode last year, but like we saw Cameron Dallas in New York.
Can we tell the story? Can we tell the story? We're just like walking down the street in New York. Don't remember where we were going, where we were coming from. And we just see someone walking out of a theater carrying a Mean Girls rehearsal binder. And you're like, that's someone. And I honestly would not have been able to recognize Cameron Dallas for my life. But you're like, I think it's a YouTuber. And I, having read the day before the news, I was like, oh my God, it's Cameron Dallas. He's going in to Mean Girls. And you're like, what?
I wish I took a picture, but I didn't because we just didn't.
He just like walked so quickly right by us.
Yeah, and then we like crossed the street to go to the August Wilson to like see if we could get a closer glimpse. We obviously couldn't, but it was 100% Cameron Dallas.
Yes. And if he was carrying his binder. He had his binder.
And if like, only we binder. Knew the performance that he had given in that role, I would have stopped him and asked him to sign something.
He hadn't done it yet.
It doesn't matter. December. It doesn't matter.
He hadn't even started yet. I wonder if they even knew what the performance he was going to give yet.
Yeah, in all seriousness, and I know that there are lots of controversies over bootlegs, but like truly, the 17 bootlegs I watched from different Mean Girls productions gave me so much joy this year. A musical that I don't even like.
The Mean Girls bootleg was the bootleg of the year for me. I don't care for it that much, but Cameron Dallas really motivated me to care about this musical.
Yeah, wow.
I agree that is actually the performance of the year, number one. Yeah. Top.
Amazing. Okay, this one is one that you had put on our list, and you only have one person for it.
There is one person.
So this is our favorite social media presence. I have a top three, so.
Do you want to do your three? Well, let me do my one, and then we'll count down your three.
Okay, great.
My one is the TikTok account of Jeremy O'Harris. He is the best. I love him. He's so funny. I love his glasses. I think he has done, what, like, in all seriousness, he's done so much for the accessibility of theater, and that he's made that his truly, like, mission goal is to make theater more accessible. Did he write the most Tony Award nominated play of all time? He did that. But he also is a social media icon. And that is why he is on a list all by himself. That is Jeremy O'Harris as a TikTok star. Go follow him. He sometimes just does funny, dumb stuff. And sometimes he addresses, like, true theater drama. He gives us, you know, behind the scenes gossip. He tells us, you know, what it's really like to write a Tony Award nominated play on Broadway or have your play produced on Broadway, what it took for that. And I think he is like demystifying Broadway and the production process and the behind the scenes of it. And I think he's a millennial person who is now kind of part of the institution of Broadway. So he is feet in both worlds, and he can give us insight and give us like behind the scenes stuff. And I think he's like doing a fantastic job of that. So again, Jeremy O'Harris, TikTok, love him. He's so funny.
Not only on TikTok, follow him on Twitter because he's everywhere. Also amazing on Twitter.
If he's on a late night show, watch him. Do it.
Yeah.
He's the best.
And as we said in our Tony nominations episode, whenever those Tonys are, Jeremy O'Harris did say that if Slave Play won, he would release the bootleg. So
release the bootleg. Do you think he took it himself?
I hope so.
I wonder if it's like rehearsal footage. I'm interested now.
I know, we're intrigued.
And we need to release the boot.
Whenever those Tonys are, so.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah. So yeah, I have three social media presents.
You did the assignment correctly.
It correctly. I think you'll agree with all three of these people. So my number three spot is to two people that have been doing the most this year, and that's Seth Rudetsky and James Wesley and Stars in the House. These guys have been going nonstop on YouTube live every single night since March, and they've been bringing us some of the best musical theater content out there, theater content, any content. The interviews with cast members, are phenomenal. It's just such a joy to watch. Yeah, these guys doing the most and have been for months.
They know how to pull a story. They know all the backstage gossip too.
Everybody wants to tell Seth everything about their life, and I love it.
I feel like he asks the right questions too. He knows exactly what to probe into and what to ask to get the most dramatic or the funniest anecdote of what happened.
Yeah. 100%. So they're my number three. My number two is a TikToker, someone that I know you also watch, and that's JJ Naiman and his backstage microphone antics on TikTok. These yes. videos are hilarious. He uses an iPhone cable as a microphone. He always has the same backstage dresser, Cindy, and he recounts different stories that have actually happened on stage and puts them into comedic TikTok form. He is a Broadway actor. He was in the Book of Mormon for 3 years. I think that this is one of the funniest theater TikTok accounts out there, and I love him.
It's so funny. I agree.
And my number one social media presence is the Ratatouille musical.
Just the full musical.
The rat of all my dreams.
I praise you, oh Ratatouille. May the world remember your name.
I feel like that's it. That's all you really need to know about it. But to be real, there is a concert coming up on January 1st that is in benefit of the Actors Fund, and you can purchase tickets through Today Tix as low as $5 donation, which honestly, I think I'm going to do. And there is a concert reading of this TikTok Ratatouille musical.
Produced by none other than Jeremy O'Harris, and many other people are involved, but...
Well,
truly.
Like the Six creative team is involved, like Andrew Barth Feldman is involved, Kevin Chamberlain is involved. I love how these Gen Zers brought this musical that it does not exist in real life, not a Disney property, like literally made this up off the top of their heads. And it is viral. Rolling Stone wrote an entire article about this fake musical. The playbill that was created is stunning. Like I just...
That art, the Ratatouille on the fork. In the shape of a rat. I cannot.
While we're here, where would you place this show? What theater?
Oh, this is so difficult. I think it's got to be somewhere. I don't know why I'm thinking of the Al Hirschfeld, because they're in Paris right now with Moulin Rouge. And so we're just going back to Paris with Ratatouille. But that's where I'm thinking for it too.
I love that. And it's so fun to just click the hashtag on TikTok and see all of the songs that people are creating and how they would stage this show. One of the best videos that I saw, and I totally agree with, is that when Remy is like running through the kitchen, like all of the sets are massive, but when it's mm-hmm. like focusing on the adults, it's like normal sets. I'm like, you guys could do so much with this. Maybe they'll like out of town it at a Disney park just to make sure that it's good.
in Paris.
Oh my God.
In Paris.
I mean, they could do it at Epcot now too, right?
Yes. Because they have the Ratatouille ride. Yeah, I love the song. What is it? I Knew I Smelled a Rat. I don't even know who wrote it. But she paints like a mustache on herself to sing it. And then everyone, you know, you'll duet it with choreography, or you'll duet it with a harmony line, or duet it with, I don't know, a duet, like another person singing. And I just love the collaborative nature of it.
I mean, in all honesty, I really do think that the Social Media Presence of the Year award goes to TikTok in itself. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Was an app that I kind of refused to download at the beginning of this year. And then little did I know that it's something that I watch every single day. And the theater content on there is incredible.
It's great. Do you remember when we downloaded it? Remember when we got it?
Yeah, in the car, in the backseat of the car on the way home from Hamilton.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, and we have been like trying to create some things here and there on TikTok. I literally bought a makeup palette for our TikTok. Like, that is where we're at.
We're having fun. You know, we have fun over on TikTok.
Yeah, I think it's, like, such a great creative outlet for very small format videos.
The comedy
is great. But the fact that, like, a musical was kind of crafted out of this app is insane. And I love it so much.
Some other people on TikTok, just always scrolling TikTok. I love to see the theater content on there. Amber Ardolino, who's in the ensemble of Moulin Rouge, she's always putting fun stuff up. Ellen Stardust waitress, Megan Dinwell.
Yes, we love her.
Great stuff. Her Hand in My Pocket.
So good.
There's nothing better. There's nothing better. Just, I don't know, spend some time, scroll TikTok.
Broadway people Bob.
Sharing cast recording. Yeah, Broadway, love Broadway Bob. People are always just sharing things that they like or cast recordings that they think you need to listen to or funny moments or funny comments. Catherine Gallagher asked people for like the most insane thing that ever happened in a Broadway theater. And then she told the pepper spray incident that happened at Jagged Little Pill. just like fun, weird stuff. And I love it.
Yeah, me too. So good on you, TikTok. You've had quite a year. I do have an honorable mention, and I do want to shout out Andrew Berth Feldman and the work that he is doing in the virtual theater sort of like aspect of the world. He started off this year with Alex Boniello doing Broadway Jackbox, which was streamed on YouTube and Twitch. And he has also done a bunch of murder mysteries. And I just am blown away, one, by his age, and two, by his creativity and the ability that, like, he deferred Harvard this year and has done all of this stuff in the meantime and has sort of, like, created a new world for a different age group of fans. And I really love that and love that he did that with his friends. Let's go to things that we were disappointed to miss this year. As we said at the beginning of this episode, we had such a huge lineup of theater in New York and Toronto, and I'm sure we were going to go on a road trip somewhere this year to go see more theater, mm-hmm. or many road trips, honestly.
Yeah.
Like Stratford, Shawfest, everybody had such an amazing lineup of theater this mm-hmm. year that was obviously, unfortunately, canceled. So let's bring it down, the energy down a little bit, and talk about some of the things that we were disappointed to miss.
Okay, let's do our top three and then just talk about everything else. My number three thing that I was most disappointed to miss is the revival of Company that we were going to see in New York in April. I'm devastated. I was devastated. I'm still devastated. One day we'll go. We'll be able to see it. But it was just, I'd been thinking about, I love Company, and I'd been thinking about this specific revival since it was announced to be in the West End and like hoping it would come to New York. And then it was announced that it was going to, and it was in rehearsals and the cast was announced and so pumped. And then dun dun dun. They did like three previews and
yeah,
had to close.
This was a show that, as you said, when it was announced in the West End, it was not a matter of like, are we going to see it? It's when are we going to see it? So mm-hmm. I agree. It's not in my top three, but it's definitely on my list of things that I'm sad to miss. Honestly, that entire New York trip is on my
yes,
list of things.
Yes, that's like the next thing. The entire April New York trip. That was supposed to be West Side Story again.
Company, Six, Assassins.
54 Below, just so many things we were supposed to see.
Oh my God, I forgot about that 54 Below show. We had tickets to that too. Wow.
Like, truly shout out to Telecharge and 54 Below for their quick refund.
Yes. The New York trip as a whole is my number three on the list. We had bought tickets, but we were also going to rush tickets, and it was devastating. I just think, like, not only for the theater fans, but the actors that were in those shows, that especially a show like Company that really only got to be on for three performances, or like the Ladies of Six, that it was their opening night and Broadway shut down. So I just really feel for everybody in those theaters.
I just think of Tim telling us that he went to the Playbill offices and they had the Six opening night playbills there with the sticker on them, and just what an artifact of time that is.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah. What's your number two?
My number two is Canadian original musical, Here's What It Takes at Stratford.
Oh, nice.
I think it's not rare, but I think we spend so much time focusing on original musicals that are in the States or come out of New York, and then we kind of get things later. But I was so excited, and my number one as well, are Canadian original musicals, homegrown here, written by Canadians, staged original cast with Canadians. I was so excited to get to see that at Stratford this past summer, and obviously that didn't happen. And I know they, like, you know, they've spent so much time developing it and putting it together that I know we will get to see it, but yeah. I'm really disappointed that we're delayed on that.
My number two is the North American premiere of Anne Juliet. This was a show that I was so excited for. It was my obsession to bring into 2020 was Anne Juliet. Mm-hmm. That cast recording is everything, as we all know. And I've seen so many different performances here and there. They were very recently on Strictly
Dancing, whatever that show is called, in the UK. Mm-hmm. They did a performance. Yeah, that was a show that when it was announced that it was part of Mirvish's season, I was so super excited for it, and to not be able to see it was a disappointment. Your number one.
My number one, another Canadian original musical that we were going to get to see, Kelly versus Kelly.
Also my number one.
Written by past guest of the podcast, Britta Johnson. Again, devastated. Devastated. We were so close. I was really excited to get to go see it, get to cover it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, really disappointing that the hard work put in by Canadians that had been invested in for so much years, like the end of Britta's Crescendo project, the final project of it, I'm just sad. It's just sad.
Yeah, and I think in a way, talking it out with Britta and Kelsey, because she was also in that cast, made me even more sad to miss it, because we sort of got like a little taste of what the plot was. It kind of made us become a fan of Britta. We have never seen one of her shows, and this was finally going to be a show that we would see. And I mean, we will see it. I just don't know when. But as soon as that gets reannounced, I'm so excited for the future of Canadian theater, because we were sort of given a taste of what this year was supposed to hold. And I can only imagine that in this time, there has been more work being developed. And I'll bring back in the Canadian Music Theatre Project and the three shows that were in that. Like, there are things that are in the works, and I hope in 2021 we are able to see something live, maybe. Who knows?
I have hope for 2021. I really feel next summer, even if we're seeing stuff outdoors, maybe Shakespeare in High Park will come back and we'll be able to see that. Even with a limited audience, I would definitely be excited to see theater in some form in person again next year.
Some honorable mentions. We were also supposed to see Great Comet this year, which
that's like
was
my next one. It's supposed to be this coming February. It's obviously not happening. Yeah, I'm really sad about that. It was really a Dave Malloy year. We've talked about Ghost Quartet. Yeah. We've talked about Octet. Now we're talking Great Comet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another, so many things.
Another one on my list was another show that was coming to Mirvish, Oklahoma. I was very interested to see how it would play, not in the round.
Restaged. Yeah. But again, as we spoke about last year, when we first saw it, I was like, huh. But then the more I thought about it, the more I loved it. So it was really a...
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
This was supposed to be, honestly, a Sondheim year. You know, we were going to see Company. We were going to see Assassins. Shawfest was doing...
Gypsy.
Gypsy and Assassins. The West Side Story movie was supposed to come out. Just so many things. And we saw Sunny in the Park with George for the first time. So much.
I mean, I feel like you are having a Sondheim moment right now.
Yes, you're right. Let's shout this out right now. I'm wearing Tara's birthday gift to me, the Backstage Blonde sweatshirt, my supreme Sondheim moment. Can we
Seth see? Could be in the cast of the 2019 West Side Story. Like, she's ready.
I'm doing a streetwear moment with the braids.
Yeah.
And the supreme we love it. Moment. But yeah, I love it. Such a comfy sweater. Shout out to the Backstage Blonde for this. And also shout out to Tara for knowing me and buying me this for my birthday.
You're welcome. My final honorable mention is a show that we had no idea if it was actually happening. We had no idea of the date. We only knew that it was potentially going to be in Chicago and that Antonio Cipriano was going to be in it. And that is The Notebook musical. We were going.
We never discussed this. However, in your mind, you knew we were going. And in my mind, I knew we were going. Yep. So it was announced for fall. There was no cast even announced, but we knew.
No. We knew that Antonio was doing, because he had done like a workshop.
Well, yes, he'd done the workshop and he has like a good relationship with Ingrid Michaelson, but like no cast was announced for this show.
There actually is. And if I can find a good quality clip, there is like a clip of one of the songs from The Notebook.
Words.
Yes.
Words.
It's good.
It's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. So I, talking about like seeing the workshops of it, they have three Allies and three Noahs. And I feel like that's a song sung by the three Allies together.
Yeah.
It's at an Ingrid Michaelson concert she did once. It's gorgeous.
I don't know what I've become, stuck in the middle of somebody else's song. I say the lines I'm supposed to say, but I know deep inside my bones it's not right. I have got to make my own.
I think the only thing that we had actually discussed about this road trip that I had in my mind was how Antonio would leave his contract at Jagged.
Yes, we did discuss that. Yes, of course he would have.
But that's it. That's the only thing that we had discussed. But we were going. The trip was booked.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to our final category, which is probably our favorite category, and that is podcast highlights from this year. We have obviously completely changed the way that we record. We used to record in the car. For people that have only discovered us this year, hi. We used to sit in a car together and record on one microphone and have one audio level. And since that time...
And like breathe the same air.
Yeah, imagine that. Wow. And now we actually started back in March doing this over Zoom, and Steph was using some sort of microphone that I feel like was your brother's, and I was using what I've been using. And then we have made the change over to StreamYard. So shout out to StreamYard for being amazing this year. Yeah. It's been such a good platform for us to stream on, I guess, and to virtually record this podcast. And also when we've had our interviews, just popping people in and out, it's been really awesome. And we have adapted to this online setting. And we were discussing right before we jumped on here that like video has been added to our mm-hmm. podcast this year, which was something that we had discussed when we decided to make a podcast in general, that we wanted to find a way to record us in the car. And being out of the car had led us to record video digitally, and it's working, and I hope you guys like the clips that we give you. And it's been a really interesting year. And we had said in our last year interview that something that we wanted to do more this year was to have some more interviews, and we definitely did that. So I feel like these are part of our favorite podcast moments this year
for sure. For me, getting to interview people and getting to talk about people who are also passionate about something that you're passionate about and see it from a different angle has been really exciting. Like, I want to thank every person who's come on the podcast who's been so generous with their time and with their knowledge and with their experiences and just been willing to be silly with us or answer serious questions. I've loved, you know, getting to do research on every person and feeling like a stalker for a bit, but then...
Yeah.
But just being able to play games and adapt to what we were doing. And, you know, I hope that when theater is back, we're able to go see shows with these people in them or that they've written and meet them in person and get to experience the art that they're created the way it was meant to be experienced. So really doing these interviews has been the best. And I think I want to like talk to more people next year, too. That is like number one goal. Just become more a part of the community, more and more a part of it.
We are going to share some of our favorite moments of the year on our Instagram page, so look out for that. But I do want to talk about a few moments that have stood out to me this year. I'm not going to say like one of my favorite interviews, because honestly, all of the interviews were my favorite, but I really love talking to Vanessa Sears and hearing her outlook on the theater industry in a year that the theater industry has been reevaluated and is looked at in a different way. And to hear her tell us of her experience of playing Dorothy at Young People's Theater and to have all of these little girls come up and tell her how much that meant to her, like that is one of my favorite moments of this year. And that's not something that we would have known if we never spoke to her. So please enjoy this clip of Vanessa discussing her experience at Young People's Theater.
You know, you get messages from parents after the show too, saying like, my daughter can't stop singing this song and keeps saying I'm Dorothy and wants to wear her hair like the way you wore it in the show.
That's amazing.
That matters. That matters so, so much for a little Black girl who doesn't see herself reflected on the TV shows she watches or in her classroom or wherever it is, you know?
Our first interview of the year will always have like a fond place in our heart. We were still figuring out what we were doing, but we got to talk to Jake Epstein, and the actual best, it was a great interview, but the actual best moment happened after the recording stopped when we were talking about Smash and he told us he auditioned for the part of Ellis. And
it's been so many months and I'm so upset that it wasn't captured.
Really, really upset. But I have such vivid memories of it. I think we screamed at him over the computer. Just like truly a blast that we had with Jake Epstein and getting to develop our interview questions and our interview skills. And
yes.
So much fun.
Another moment that I loved, and I feel like it's many moments, because I need to give a huge shout out to Patrick Flynn and the Original Cast podcast, because he had both of us as guests on his podcast, and then he came on our podcast, and there are plans to be on his podcast again, and we would love to have him back on ours. Just this like camaraderie between podcasts is something that is so fun and amazing. And we have talked about this many times off the mic of how when you work with someone that also works on a podcast or is a blogger or something, they just get it because they also do the same type of work. He, like us, truly loves to nerd out over musical theater. So doing the title songs episode with him was so fun. And that was an idea that he gave us. We didn't even have that as part of our lineup. And it was like one of the most fun nights we've had recording. We were laughing so hard and I loved every second of it. So thanks, Patrick, for inviting us on your podcast and starting this podcast relationship with us because it's so fun.
I have a lot of feelings about it, and someday I will reveal to everybody my theory that She Loves Me and Chess take place in the same shared universe, but that's a whole other conversation.
That is Chess.
That is a theory.
These are things that I think about.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be crazy.
I can't even begin to comprehend that.
I can't either. Yeah. And I've seen Chess.
Also getting a new energy in here. You know, normally when we have a guest on, it's kind of like we ask them questions, we focus on them, but really getting able to have like a conversation between the three of us was a blast. Our interview with Shalena Kennedy this year, there's something that she said that like I've thought about so much this year as we've gone on. And she said, I can't remember the exact quote, I'm sure you'll put it in, but theater has survived thousands and thousands of years and it has always come back. And even though it seems kind of not hopeless, but dark right now, it is not. And even though theater will evolve, theater will come back bigger, better, different, huger than before. And I think hearing her say that theater has survived everything and it will survive this was like really impactful in the final push for this year.
Theater's never died. Like, despite all of the plagues, all of the diseases, all of the world wars, like, it's never gone away. So COVID's not going to kill it. It's just, you know, we're going to be put on pause for a minute or a couple of years. Like, we don't know. And we just have to live in the present. And I think, if anything, I'm feeling inspired by this break. So I think this is an opportunity for us to figure out, okay, which stories do we want to tell? Like, what are we wanting to say with our art? Like, what is the purpose of art? So I think we have this great opportunity for a quiet reflection and for really asking ourselves the hard questions of what kind of theater needs to be made in the future.
She is someone that, as we said on that episode, is a Canadian icon, to be honest, in the theater world. And to get to talk to her, one, was incredible. She was someone that was on our list of dream interviews last year, and to sit and speak with her this year was so exciting, and to hear all of her different stories. But she is one of the only people that we spoke to that is actually also works behind the scenes in the theater world, and to hear her thoughts and feelings on her theater company, Eclipse in general, but also the state of theater as a whole, was inspiring and not sad for the first time. So it was great to talk to her. Someone that we love talking to and we loved meeting him last year was Tim Dolan from Broadway Up Close. And when we told him that the last show that we saw before the shutdown was Summer, his reaction was congratulations. So please enjoy this clip.
And what about you guys? What was your last show?
Summer.
The Donna Summer musical on tour.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
My friend Steven was the dude who played the
Bruce
husband.
We love Bruce. He's our favorite part. Oh, Summer, a Donna Summer musical. I really feel like if we had the spring and summer of shows we thought we were going to have, we would never think of Summer, a Donna Summer musical again. And yet...
No, I actually think we would have.
I've spent so much time of this year thinking about Summer, a Donna Summer musical.
We spent so much time thinking about the Cars from Donna Summer.
The Cars.
Donna Summer musical.
I really think about her apology to the gay community about 75% of the way through that show.
That show, a trip.
Did I cry? Yes, I did.
All of our interviews were such a highlight of this year. We cannot wait to continue to interview more people next year, do more collabs next year, all of that. So we hope that you have enjoyed these interviews as well. That is our top categories for this year in review. As we said, we have adapted, obviously, from what we did last year because we really did not see that many things in person. But if you have seen anything that you loved this year, please let us know because we would love to hear and we would love to see it if we haven't seen it yet. And with that being said, it is now time for our final obsession of the week. Okay, Steph, what do you have for us?
Okay, my obsession of the week, of the episode, of the year is a song that I've been thinking about a lot this year, just in terms of the state of the world, and it is the finale from Avenue Q, a song called For Now, which talks about how everything in life is only for now, and that is something that I try to keep in my life in general. Anything you're going through will end eventually. The happy things will end eventually, and the upsetting things will end eventually. And that is what that song is about. You know, you go through life and you experience it and you feel emotions, but they'll all be over, and you just have to experience them as you're experiencing them. And the moment that always gets me is where they scream things that are only for now, including on the cast recording, your hair is only for now. And finally they end with, at the time this musical came out in 2003 or 2004, George Bush is only for now. But they have taken to, in different productions, changing that line in the show. And I know the night the show closed, they said, this show is only for now. So what I am proposing that we change it to, or what I do in my mind, is saying, this year is only for now, because it literally is. It will be over very soon, and we will move on to a new year with different hopes. But, and who knows what next year will bring? Many things. Maybe we'll be not less optimistic, but, you know, more realistic with the next year. But, yeah. But, you know, we're just experiencing it. It's just coming as it comes. So For Now is a song that I think about a lot in general, but has, particularly this year, has had new resonance.
Only for now.
For now there's life.
Only for now.
Session this week is something that I have already posted on our Instagram page, but it's something that I watch all the time, and it is the video of different dancers in the UK dancing to From Now On from The Greatest Showman. The Instagram page is CM_choreography. This video, I bawled my eyes out when I first saw it. It is all of these dancers dancing around the UK holding up Save the Art signs, and I feel like, in a weird way, From Now On has kind of become the anthem of this year, and very similar to what you were sort of saying of, like, the different lyrics that stand out, and it's, we will come back home, home again. We will get back into the theaters. It's just a matter of time. And I know that we've used the song in a previous episode, but From Now On is really the song for this time. And it's such a good song. And it was such a good song when it came out. And I love that it's being used to sort of, like, revive the arts. So yeah, that is my obsession this week. I will repost it on our social media so that everybody can get a chance to see it, but it's really a stunning, stunning video. Before we give you our final remarks for 2020, Steph, what is our charity of this week?
So we've been using our small platform to highlight organizations that could use our support. And this episode, as we close out the year, and as we approach almost 1 year without theater, we want to bring attention to the Actors Fund of Canada. AFC provides support to people in the entertainment industry here in Canada when they're going through hardship. And especially this year, when so much of the industry is not able to work, their work is more important than ever. So you can head over to afchelps.ca to donate, and the money goes to providing healthcare, rent, money, just any kind of financial support to anyone in the entertainment industry. And that doesn't just include actors. It includes, you know, behind the scenes staff, ushers, lighting, production assistants, stage managers, just anyone involved in the theater industry whose career, whose employment has been disrupted this year. They can go to AFC for help, and they will help them out. And I really think that their mission is more important than ever, because that industry is one that is so important to us and so important to the economy in general, and we need it to survive. It will survive, but we need the people that make it special to be able to be there when this is over.
100%. And speaking of us needing it to survive, let's wrap up this year with sort of like our final thoughts. And I think that, like so many people, theater is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, outlets in my life. Wow, I'm gonna cry.
We're having a moment over StreamYard.
To lose it this year has obviously been so hard, but I feel like we have adapted, sort of, kind of, and we are still going, obviously, with this podcast. And as difficult sometimes as it is to create content, we're still here doing it as we're both crying over the internet right now. And I'm just like super proud of the work that we've done this year and the fact that we have not only done all of these different interviews, but we've also created these different series. Like we've done Obsession Megamix, which like we want to bring that back because it was such a fun format and we really enjoyed it. We've done a composer series. We've continued on, I don't even know what we would call this series, but like opening numbers, title songs, act one finales. Yeah. Like we want to continue with all of that stuff. And I don't know that we would have 100% done that this year if this year didn't happen, because as we said, we had so many shows lined up and there was going to be so many corresponding episodes. But I do think that the most positive thing that came out of this year was the connection that we have built with different artists, whether it's someone that lives 5 minutes away from us or someone that is living in New York City. So I am so thankful that this format exists and let us do that, because it's been so inspiring to hear from other people and to get to share the thing that we all love together. So it's been a super hard year and it's been a really interesting year, and I am excited for what's to come in 2021. Hopefully we can get back inside of a theater again. But
we will.
But we do also need to say a huge thank you to everybody that's been listening to us for the last 2 years, which is kind of insane. And thanks to our Spotify Wrapped. We see you in the UK and we appreciate you. But if you follow us, if you subscribe to us, if you like a tweet, like an Instagram photo, like we appreciate it all. So thank you so much for continuing to listen to us.
This has been a year where everyone's been very separated, but I really feel, you know, every 2 weeks, we talk all the time in general, but every 2 weeks we come on here and we like get to have like face-to-face time and have a conversation. And I think we would be doing that much less if we didn't have the podcast. So you are probably the person who I've talked to, spoken to the most outside of the people in my house. And I appreciate you, and I appreciate us getting to like not force ourselves to have this time, but having an excuse to have this time to just like chat and have fun and make things be as normal as possible.
Yeah.
In this weirdly abnormal way. So this podcast has been kind of like a grounding force, something that has like been consistent throughout the entire year, something that has, you know, kept our connection to each other and to Shara and to, you know, everyone else that we see tweets from or comments from. And it's been a really, for me anyway, like a great, great thing to have this year.
Yeah, I mean, we said this last year on our year in review episode that we look forward to those recordings in the car. And as much as I honestly miss recording in the car, I really do. It's been awesome to come on here every 2 weeks. And we do need to say a huge thank you to Shara, who does so much behind the scenes, especially now that we've thrown so many videos at her that never existed before. And with that being said, we do want to announce that no, we are not leaving, but we are taking a break. If you can believe, we have gone 2 years straight without taking a week off. And this is not our only job. This is just a side gig. So we are going to still record in January, though, because we are bringing you guys new episodes in February. But we are just going to take a little bit of a break and, yeah, figure out our content for 2021 and bring you new episodes for you to enjoy. So while you are waiting for new episodes, you can go back and listen to all of our old episodes from the last 2 years by subscribing to our podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Off2BOA Podcast with the number 2. Happy New Year, and we will see you in February.
Bye.